Unfortunately, since Marvin Gaye wrote that song in the 70s, highlighting the degradation of the environment, things have only gotten progressively worse. My sermonic title this morning is I Can't Breathe, an Echo Theology of Compassion. I Can't Breathe, an Echo Theology of Compassion. Somebody once said that the Psalms were the world's first collection of environmental music, and that the entire world is a cosmic liturgy. From Psalms 1, where a righteous person is compared to trees planted by the rivers of waters, bearing fruit each season, to Psalm 150, where we are called to praise God with the psaltery and the harp, the timbrel and dance, upon the loud cymbals and the high-sounding cymbals for God's mighty creation, the Psalms are indeed God's green book. Maybe that's what the songwriter meant when penning these words of that song. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. I tell you, the Psalms are God's green book, the first collection of environmental music. Psalms 96 and 1 declares, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." And then verses 11 and 12 declare, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fill it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy." And who can forget Psalm 104, which says, "You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches." Notice the imagery of the birds singing among the branches of the trees. When we protect the trees, we enable non-human creation to join us in praise of the Creator. When trees are plentiful and healthy, people are also healthy. And guess what? The birds sing. It's no accident that the trees are found both at the beginning and the end of the Bible, in Genesis and Revelation. The notion of the trees giving life and healing is not just an eschatological vision. It is a vital reality for our planet's health today. For the trees are indeed the lungs of the earth. But when we are excessive in destroying the trees for purposes of commercial development, we deprive God of worship. In fact, studies show that both in the United States and in Europe, that birds respond to human noise by reducing their own songs, in some cases actually changing the frequency of their songs. The psalmist says the birds of the air have their inhabitation. They sing among the branches. That is, until in our overreach, in our overproduction, in our overdevelopment and rapid deforestation, that we shudder the music of the earth. That's why as Christians we are called to be echo evangelists of the earth. We're called to an echo spirituality of compassion, where all of God's creation is respected, cared for, and protected. Again, Psalms 36 and 6 declares that you save humans and animals alike, O God. I agree with Robert Shore Goss that there is no original sin but anthropocentrism. This misguided notion that humans are at the center of the universe and that we can do whatever we want to do to satisfy our ravenous appetite. And it is because of this bogus belief in human exceptionalism that we are experiencing unprecedented global destruction and a rapid reduction of plant and wildlife populations. That's why this year's Earth Day theme is the fierce urgency of now, because far too many of these species are in danger because of human activity. I love the words of the psalmist who declares in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. For God has founded it upon the seas and established it along the rivers. In other words, human beings are not the owners of the earth. We are just mere stewards. And if that is not cold water enough on our notions of human superiority, then hear the words of Qorlath, the writer of Ecclesiastes, who subverts the human-animal binary and testifies to the fact that humans, in the eyes of God, are no better than the animals. In Ecclesiastes 3, the writer says, humans have no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. All go to the same place. All are from the dust, and all shall return to the dust again. Yes, Scripture reminds us that as humans, we are embedded within and dependent upon a larger ecological network that demands our respect and gratitude. For without a healthy ecosystem, all things, food security, health and health care, justice and peace, the eradication of poverty, all of which are directly related to the environment, are at risk. That's why the title of my message is, I Can't Breathe. You may remember that these words were uttered by Eric Garner, who was killed in 2014 in New York City by police officer Daniel Pantaleo, who used an illegal chokehold to pin him down to the ground, all the while ignoring his pleas of, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, which he uttered 11 times. But as Melanie Harris points out in her book, Eco-Womanism, African-American Women and Earth Honoring Faith, the chokehold was not the only thing that killed Eric Garner. According to the autopsy that was performed on Eric Garner, he not only suffered from an illegal chokehold, he also had asthma, which was a consequence of being forced to live under the environmental health hazard of the polluted air in Staten Island. And so Eric Garner, like thousands of children and adults who are forced to live in and breathe in unclean air, suffered not only because of racially motivated violence, but also because the air in his community robbed him of a normal quality of life and the right to breathe clean air. Garner's death highlights the undeniable link between social injustice and environmental injustice, and show that they drink from the same well and flow from the same stream. You can't talk about one without talking about the other. James Cone said it best, the logic that led to slavery and segregation in America, colonization and apartheid in Africa, and the rule of white supremacy throughout the world is the same one that leads to the exploitation of animals and the ravaging of the environment. People who fight against white racism but fail to connect it to the degradation of the earth are anti-ecological, whether they know it or not. People who struggle against environmental degradation but do not incorporate it into a disciplined and sustained fight against white supremacy are racist, whether they know it or not. The fight for justice cannot be segregated, but must be integrated with the fight for life in all of its forms. Listen, we can't defeat one without the other, for Dr. King was right, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. One of the main symptoms of COVID-19 is that it attacks the lungs. It attacks our breathing. And again, one of the reasons it's impacting the black community the most is because of the prevalence of hypertension, of diabetes, of high blood pressure, cancer, and asthma in the black community. Conditions that do not exist in a vacuum, but conditions that are the direct result of poverty, redlining, gentrification, food deserts, healthcare disparities, environmental and institutional racism. So no, I can't breathe. Eric Garner was killed by an illegal chokehold and underlying health conditions. In terms of environmental injustice, maybe we need to reimagine what a chokehold is. A chokehold is a country that mercilessly exploits its poor black and brown residents for the sake of the wealthy. In fact, one study shows that quite literally, the poorest of the earth live on wealthy people's garbage. In the United States, close to 85% of all the toxic landfills are in neighborhoods comprised of people of lower economic status and people of color. So no, I can't breathe. And neither can the environment. Not during a time when the president of the so-called most advanced nation in the world denies the science of global warming and uses every opportunity available to weaken environmental protections despite record heat waves, wildfires, storms, floods, and widespread environmental degradation. In fact, what we are witnessing in this current blatant disregard of the environment is what eco-theologian Leah Shade calls an eco-crucifixion. And while this is not an attempt to Christianize the environmental crisis, Shade says the language that she uses arises out of what constituted Jesus' own crucifixion, and that is the torture and death of an innocent person for the purpose of strengthening and furthering the power of what Walter Wink calls the domination system. And who can deny the parallels to what is happening to the earth today? I love the way Jay McDonald put it. He said, "A God who suffers only with humans is too small. Our task is to recognize that there are countless crosses in the world, non-human as well as human, to which countless victims are involuntarily nailed, often by powers that have nothing to do with human agency." Listen, I long for the day when environmental injustice and social injustice make all of us feel a little out of breath, so much so that we are inspired and we are moved to do something about it. When fracking and drilling are poisoning our water and our land, all of us should feel a little out of breath. When the Trump administration has installed the most anti-environmental cabinet in our nation's history, and Congress has voted to give coal mining companies free rein to pollute waterways to their stone cold hearts' content, all of us should feel a little out of breath. When air pollution, pesticides, poor diets, and radiation have led to a sharp increase in cancer diagnosis among children, all of us should feel a little out of breath. When blacks are the least tested but the most effective, when we make up only 13% of the population yet represents over 50% of the deaths, all of us should feel a little out of breath. When the governor of Georgia is reopening the economy too soon in a manner in which it appears he's using blacks as guinea pigs, all of us should feel a little out of breath. Shade says she uses the jarring language of eco-crucifixion in order to spur a conversation of the heart to a vision of a green earth where all persons live in harmony with nature. Until we get to that point, until there's a major push toward ethical reformation of our world, until we muster the courage to live differently, in the words of Pastor Michael Waldron, I am holding my breath. Amen.